everyone. Welcome to Edge of Wonder with your hosts, Ben and Rob. We have a lot of fans and subscribers who have farms and have been telling us about the agricultural situation around the country. I mean, Bill Gates is buying up farmland across the United States. Big corporations are getting grants instead of companies that need it, and farmers are mad.
They sure are mad. So Rob and I did a little digging. What is the World Economic Forum pushing that's been going on since the 70s? And what fear-mongering is making the rising food costs seem like something we can't escape from? So join us as we dive into the truth about the agricultural agenda for tonight's live show.
And then we're going to bring you something pretty special after we go over to Rise TV for the exclusive part of the show that we can't talk about anywhere else. At 9 p.m. tonight Eastern, we'll have a live watch party premiere of the first episode of the Big Food Agenda series. That's right. You'll hear all about marketing manipulation behind our food products, and you won't believe your eyes with what we're going to show you guys.
Yeah. So before the watch party, let's get started by talking about the agricultural agenda, the World Economic Forum, which seems what everyone's talking about today. Bill Gates.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. And the Committee of 300 and how it all ties together. So we'll see you out
on the edge. Benjamin.
Rob, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. So you guys, yeah, we have a special thing tonight. We're going to be publishing our first episode of the Big Food Agenda on Rise TV at 9 o'clock. We actually have a watch party this time. So Rob and I will be in the chat. And if you're not subscribed to watch or to Rise TV, subscribe to us because we have awesome content that we're not putting out on Rumble. Our really hard hitting stuff is all on Rise TV. So definitely check it out.
Well,
yeah,
let's get right into it. How about that World Economic Forum, Ben?
Dude, I don't even know where to start with this. Yeah. It's like, what, I mean, you know, it's weird because when we were doing our deep state series, which by the way, we're still in the process of kind of remaking all of these, the World Economic Forum was just something we kind of like mentioned in passing. It's like they were behind the scenes. You know, I didn't realize even at the time how much they played a role.
Yeah, into how much their tentacles had sunk deeply into the world, right?
Yeah.
They were doing things behind the scenes for a long time.
Yeah, because I mean, we know about like, you know, the Bilderberg group and all these other things going on, but then you have the United Nations. And I was kind of, you know, I've always kind of thought of the United Nations as being the what I want to say, like, you know, the front group that's kind of, you know, the public group of really what the Bilderberg is. But it really wasn't until COVID and then like with the WHO organization kind of working with the Economic Forum and then seeing what they're really putting out there. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Like no one's questioning this.
It really comes down to this, right? Like you and I had started to research before all of that went down what the United Nations was doing and kind of like the fact that it seemed like this entity, this global cabal, whatever you want to call it, was trying to create multiple different organizations to kind of see which would stick. Mm-hmm. And the United Nations, in large part, seemed to be a faction that they had created to try to bring in this one world government through the United Nations. But it would only make sense that this governmental branch of the new world order that they were creating would have to have an economic financial arm because it is the finances that control everything. I mean, the fact that they infiltrated the Fed so long ago in the United States was already a clear indication that the finance and was going to be how they would do all of this. And the World Economic Forum just seemed like a natural extension to the United Nations to be able to do all of that. And here we are, you know, like, mm-hmm. This is what's so dangerous about this group of globalists is they they do everything so properly that according to various, like, that anyone sleepy watching this stuff would just think that this is normal stuff going on, normal capitalism going on. But there are absolutely agendas on what to do and where to take the world's industries. And yeah. Their whole point is, oh, well, it's not a conspiracy. And it's like, well, it's not a conspiracy because you're using finances and using corporations and you're doing it in an office setting. I mean, that doesn't mean it's not a conspiracy. I mean, we don't know what you people are saying behind closed doors in your little rooms. And
oh, my God,
that's conferences, what they say at the conferences. Every time we watch one of those conferences, man, it scares the crap. I mean, it's scary, right?
Like, yeah. Well, and. They're so bold now, you know, especially the last one that they had, when you really look at what they were saying. I mean, like, one of the things that came out from the last conference was how they need to, like, crack down on mis and disinformation being spread online and social media.
Well, and Ben, just think about it. They've actually had to publish articles right now saying the globalists aren't evil conspiracy or whatever, right? Like, they're actually having to defend themselves by publishing articles that are obviously originate from PR firms that they're working with to get into our media to tell us that they're not crazy Bond villains that are trying to take over the world. Like, think about how, like, if you think we're crazy, why would you need to do that? Because I mean, this is the group of people that created PR in the world. It's the same group generations later that are still running things and trying to control all of our perceptions on everything. And when are we all going to wake up? I mean, it's like too few of us are talking about what you and I are having a conversation about right now on this show, Ben. You know, I mean, this is scary stuff.
It's so true. I mean, all of it is, is it Cameron, the Prime Minister of England, or I'm sorry, the UK?
He was, I think.
Okay, I don't know if he is. I'm sorry, no, I should
the
know.
The Prime Minister of the UK was that guy Boris. And then it went over to the woman before Boris.
Liz Truss
is her name now.
Okay, I can't remember the guy's name, Cameron or something like that.
Well, that was ages ago. That was like before Boris, right? This guy Cameron, or was he in Canada? He might have been Canada.
No.
He was the United Kingdom. Okay.
He was the United Kingdom. I just can't remember. I'm sorry, you guys. I can't remember the exact time period. But they had a Bilderberg meeting, right? And so one of the media got him coming out, and they're like, well, you know, are you forming your world government or anything? And he made a statement saying, like, that's not really a bad thing to form a world government, right? Like, think about it. If we kind of came together, we would have less wars. And, you know, and so I after he made that comment, and then, of course, Kissinger wrote a book called World Order. I mean, that was his book that he came out with a couple years ago. So it's like, I realized that, by them saying this, it was starting to get this notion out there, like, well, think about it. I mean, on the surface, it does sound pretty good, right? Hey, look, if all the countries could come together finally, you know, and put all of our differences aside, and we could find peace within this, think about it. We could have one currency for everybody, right? So you that this way, it's like we're in more harmony with each other. We can share resources. It's like everything is a little bit more friendly. We can export and import will be more friendly. Just all of it, right? Like, share just whatever it is. It's like we can come together and imagine this, like, utopian kind of society world, which sounds, and that's exactly how the World Economic Forum presents this, you know? And it's like, on the surface, it's like, well, yeah, that doesn't sound too bad, I guess. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, yeah, we would have less wars and everything else, but then they throw in there, but we don't want you to own anything.
I mean, that's like the first tenet of communism. Right? It's like the first tenet of the Bavarian Illuminati at the very beginning, when all of this stupid stuff started going down in the first place.
Yeah.
They really treat us like we're stupid. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So this was during the Obama era. So yeah, he was the prime minister from 2010 to 2016. according to someone in the chat here. So yeah, this was probably around like 2014 where he made this comment, and it was the Bilderberg meeting that they had somewhere in the, I can't remember that which year that was, but I'm pretty sure it was around 2014. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but then the next question is like, well, wait a minute, who's going to lead this, you know? And then it's like, you start looking at these agendas, which we're going to get into with all the food stuff. And then, you know, that's where it starts getting like, wait a minute, what is going on here? Right. So, I mean, this is pretty insane. Let's kind of get into a little bit of this. So the World Economic Forum wants to make you allergic to beef, and Bill Gates has the mosquitoes to do it.
That's a crazy headline.
Now, granted, the World Economic Forum would say, well, this is a conspiracy headline, you know, and that's like, well, yeah, true. But he does have genetically modified mosquitoes that he was trying to release in the Keys of Florida. So what exactly are they doing? That's the big question. And this article kind of like to kind of read some of this article. Bill Gates has been cooking up synthetic beef in his laboratories, as we all know. But as appetizing as test tube meat might sound, I've found myself questioning why. That's the person who wrote this. As with everything else Bill Gates does, the answer is a tangled web. In the World Economic Forum, genetically modified mosquitoes and synthetic beef are wrapped in it together. So this kind of goes on to say, like, basically they do have the capability to genetically modify some kind of mosquito to release. And, you know, you can say this about ticks right now. You know, when some people get bitten by ticks, they're like allergic to meat all of a sudden. It's kind of rare, but it does happen. And red meat specifically. So there's been a big, huge question specifically about ticks. I mean, you start looking into ticks, which I kind of have, especially being in New York, like upstate New York, where like, you know, ticks are like everywhere in the summer.
Pull that back up for me, Lindsay. Right where it was. So this is crazy in this article. It's saying right here. Okay, so in 2016, a WF-linked bioethicist threatened during a speech in a not at all ethical way that because humans won't willingly stop eating beef on their own and because it'd be better for the environment if they did, we can possibly address really big world problems through human engineering. This is after he mentioned that conveniently there is a tick out there that can make humans allergic to red meat after it bites them.
That's
he also
it right
stated
there.
How it'd be better for the climate if we were all on average 15 centimeters shorter. He didn't mention anything about mosquitoes, though, just ticks. And that's where WEF member Bill Gates comes to fill in the gaps. That is some...
Yeah.
I don't want to say what I want to say because there might be kids watching.
Well, there's
been crazy conspiracy
about ticks specifically, like, you know, been modified and released. And you can definitely look into this. It's kind of weird to think about. And
think about it. The my body, my choice thing. Like, who do these people think they are to try to force genetically modify human beings without their acknowledgement of that? Like, just because you don't think someone should have their choice to eat meat or not. Like, this is how psychotic the world is right now.
Yep.
I mean, really think about that. Wow.
It's super crazy. It really is.
Like, who are they to tell anyone what to do at all? Like, that is that is such a far reach. And how is it that we can go from having a discussion about my body, my choice to that, and no one on the left is really calling that out? Like, this is what I'm saying. Like,
exactly.
This is like PR. This is the power of people utilizing PR to create a state where humans will accept things. It's a propaganda, the biggest propaganda tool that's been used against the West. PR. They don't even need it to be forced propaganda. It is paid propaganda. It's the business arm of propaganda. Anyone can hire a PR firm to do anything for you. If you have the money, you have the power to control what people's decisions are going to be.
And all of this is in the new Jurassic Park Dominion movie. Like everything we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah, actually.
The whole movie is about.
If the only reason you're watching that movie is just to watch that stuff, I highly recommend you do it. I actually think.
I agree.
Was that movie a great movie? Not really. But it wasn't as bad as they said. And I think it got the bad reviews because it exposed too much about the elites.
I agree. I definitely agree. I mean, there was definitely some great scenes in it. I think they honestly, I think what ruined the movie for me was they gave way too much away in the trailer. But also like I was a little bit kind of stressed out when I watched it. We're doing the show, we're talking about these things and I'm watching this movie and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like everything that is going on in the world right now. Yeah. Like clearly everything that is going on in the world. It's like
the most direct predictive programming.
Yeah.
That, you know, could be out there right now.
Right. Well, and then, like you said, you know, so they're trying to stop getting us to eat red meat, beef,
because
and
it's the most nourishing thing for the human body.
Pretty much.
End of statement right there, you know.
It pretty much is. And so instead, they're trying to get everybody, it seems to be more like having all this insect agenda of like eating insects. And like, so in Australia, 1,000 Australian schools are fed insects. This is from spectator.com.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a stock photo, honestly. That's not really what's being served there. So
gross.
But the whole thing is gross. Yeah. A teacher from one of the 1,000 Australian schools feeding kids chips made out of powdered crickets. So there's a photo going around of it's like potato chips, but they have like they're sprinkling like bug parts on these things. And then this goes on. Do crickets taste good? The students nod. The teacher adds, yeah, let's have some more crickets. Bugs are on the menu again. Why does the World Economic Forum have such a weird obsession with making our kids eat them? So this has like been a question I think a lot of people are asking. Like, why are they pushing for us to eat bugs as like this alternative source? And I was reading today, there's like how many ants are on the planet. It's like trillions. It's like there's so many that it like something with how it weighs on the earth or something like that, because there's so many ants. And so I don't know. I was reading about this today and it was like one of those things where it seems that they're kind of building up to potentially have some kind of thing where it's like, let's all eat ants because there's too many of them on the planet. And this is actually going to be good for the planet.
If that was the case, we'd already be eating them. Like everything already had a natural order before you started screwing everything up. I for one,
dude, that's it right there, Lindsay. You got it. It's like they're all lizards, and actually they eat bugs, and so for them it's more natural. Bugs and humans that eat,
but that's not all. The World Economic Forum is encouraging us to do. They're also encouraging us to eat expired food, aren't they?
They sure are. You want to get into this, Rob?
Yes, the World Economic Forum has convinced the UK to remove best before dates from food products in an effort to conserve food waste. In reality, these sick individuals do not care about human health. This is not me saying this. This is the article.
Yeah.
These sick individuals do not care about human health and need a way to avert attention away from the coming food shortages brought on by their zero emissions pipe dream. The UK is set to remove best before and labels from around 500 products. When was the food shipped or packaged? It will be up to the consumer to use their best judgment. There are also plans to remove hundreds of use by dates on products. Best buy indicates the quality of food, while use by indicates whether it is safe for consumption. The WEF insists that these dates are meaningless as it still may be safe to eat expired food, and even claim milk is the third most wasted product in the UK, which is extremely dangerous to drink if expired. These people are insane.
Yeah, they're even talking about this with milk. They're thinking about removing the expiration dates on milk, and because it's like, well, you can just do like a smell and taste test, you know? And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, that the one that's on milk anyway is the Best Buy. And then, so the difference is like used by is like that could be kind of dangerous, where it's like, you know, you buy meat and it's like used by this period, because then it could start really getting bad and you could get sick from it. Best Buy is more like you have like crackers or something, and then they might just get stale. They're not going to make you sick, but they just get stale. So
there's some quality memes here that Lindsay's bringing up.
When your dad insists on cooking all the expired food because it's still good. It's funny. I actually have more of a like sensitive stomach, so I have to be a little bit more careful with foods that have been like sitting out and stuff. Some people are, it's like, doesn't bother them, but me, I'm a little bit, I have to be a little bit more careful about it.
All right,
we need to show a trailer.
We should show a trailer, shouldn't we, Ben? Yes, shame on us. We're 3 minutes past. Surprised I haven't gotten slapped in the side of the head by Lindsay.
Yeah, me too. You know, she's there. Or, yeah, anyway. So we're going to show our big food agenda trailer, which is coming tonight on Rise TV, the premiere.
Watch party tonight.
Yes, and we're going to have a watch party. Join us in the live chats. Rob and I will be there chatting with everyone, and it will be a fun time. So
roll.
Why don't we show us?
Attention, attention. Have you ever heard of the rivalry between Coke and Pepsi? What if we told you the Cola Wars were just a big scam? Ever heard about a certain U.S. president helping popularize Pepsi in the USSR? Or are the Soviet Union paid the Pepsi company in warships? Why are candy and cola makers like Nestle, Coke, and Pepsi sponsoring health studies? Why do internal emails at Coca-Cola look like they've tried to influence the World Health Organization? Have you ever wondered why the obesity epidemic is getting worse, even though we know sugar is bad for us?
Well, Edge of Wonder isn't a health show.
No, it's not.
And we already know we should be healthier. But what we found about the marketing manipulation behind our food products, that you were never supposed to know.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid about the sugar industry, people, pun intended. Ben and I are about to shock you by how little choice you really have in what you eat.
There's been a deliberate push for sugar on the world's citizens, and Rob and I are here to expose it. Today, we'll uncover the smoking gun sugar marketing that just may reveal how our behavior has been conditioned for generations.
So join us as we dive into the truth about the big food agenda that's been building and building, and not just in your arteries. You won't believe what we found. The Cola Wars. That's a good one.
Yeah, it is. And actually, just to kind of show you guys, I have a cup here of sugar. This is 9 teaspoons of sugar. And that's how much. Well, this is just a soda water, but a normal can of Coke, this is how much sugar is just in one can. This is 45 grams right here of sugar, and that's in one can. So just to let you know, it's a lot. It's a crazy amount.
Indeed.
And we go
hard into what that does to your body and what they've been doing since the 80s. It'd be pretty interesting for you guys. The 50s, actually, that's true. But in the 80s, we were guzzling that stuff down like it was Kool-Aid. Wait a minute. That is what I drank in the 80s.
Dude, Kool-Aid, it's like I can't even believe it. It's like legal.
I used to watch my mom make that, and I was like, it's just like a cup of sugar and a packet of Kool-Aid, and it was so delicious. Like, and then we would run around the back like, crazy hyper.
Ever did that? But we used to take like what's that? That 6 feet of bubble tape gum.
Oh, bubble tape. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we'd take that and put the whole thing in our mouth.
Yeah, yeah. We did that too, for sure. That was fun. Your whole mouth, you were just like,
yeah. Can you imagine if like TikTok and things like that were around when we were young? Like, dude, I would be posting all kinds of stuff when I was a kid.
Would have been dying from sugar or something, it, like man. Overload.
Oh my God. And it was in like everything. And it was like, oh yeah, it's the 80s. Who cares? Eat whatever you want. And it was just kind of nuts at the time.
But I walked by, I was in some supermarket the other day, and I walked by and saw a big box of Count Chocula. And I was like, it was such a struggle for me to not buy it. I was like, I need that. I didn't do it though. I didn't get it. You'd have been proud of me, Ben.
That's cool. Yeah, I recently bought the blueberry one last year, you know.
Blueberry.
But then it has that, I can't remember the name of it. Not triglycerides. It has something that weird chemical on the back. And you know, the FDA came out and was like, no, this is totally safe for consumption because it's like a low amount, right? But then when you start really looking, especially in the kids' foods, and see how that ingredient in so many products, then you start thinking, well, okay, then it starts building up, you know, and that's where it gets kind of scary. I'll find out the name of what that is soon here. But yeah, that's when it's like, well, wait a minute. Okay, if I'm consuming this every single day, yeah, it's granted a small amount, but over a year, that could be, you know, more than what's in here. And then it gets kind of scary.
And you remember what we were saying earlier about like PR and how these globalists are having to like actually have articles written about how they're not crazy. There's no conspiracy theory. Like, they don't want the conspiracy theories like about them. Well, there's this article from News Punch, about Bill Gates, and the headline is Bill Gates hopes conspiracy theories about his globalist agenda are starting to die down. Look at that photo.
About his globalist agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the agenda. What is it? I can't remember the name. It's not agenda 20. Well, agenda 21 is, or is it agenda 21? Anyway, the logo in the back is that's
paragraph. It's hilarious, that bolded paragraph. Scroll up. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates has admitted he hopes crazy conspiracy theories about his globalist agenda are starting to die down, while confessing that the elites have yet to find a way to convince everybody to accept his plans. That's funny. Gates told The Guardian that he funds to the tune of $13 million per year that he used to think online conspiracy theories about himself were created by a robot sending out crazy messages. However, when he ventured out in public during the pandemic, he realized how many people hate him with a passion. Wonder why? Maybe you should go to India and ask them why. Intent. Might have something to do with something called the jab.
Well, yeah, and that's definitely been a whole conspiracy. But in fact, we're going to get into that a little bit later when we talk about some of the things that are going on over there. Man, I really want to get into these predictions, but yeah. So, actually, here is a keep going on with the Bill Gates thing. Here's actually a really fascinating video. You know, we were talking about the genetically modified mosquitoes. Well, here's a video that we can show. Lindsay, why don't you pull this
up? By the way, that story Bill Gates told about thinking that it was a bot is a complete lie, because those elites have so much access to data.
Oh my gosh.
Like that, all of his, there's no way he wasn't given updates on what people really think and still think.
Definitely.
How about some sound?
Process of releasing a
there you go,
and that's how you bring the population down.
This week, Oxitec began the process of releasing 140,000 male eggs in 6 locations along the Keys. That is part of a live experiment greenlit by the EPA. though some environmentalists are crying foul.
Genetic engineered organisms are not something that we can control. Evolution will find its own way.
This isn't disrupting anything within the environment naturally?
We haven't seen that, no, and we are targeting the Aedes aegypti that is invasive.
Locally, residents buzzing about benefits and risks of unexpected consequences.
My gut feeling says it's probably not a good thing. You know, we don't know enough about it.
The EPA says they conducted an extensive risk assessment based on the best available science and does not expect the trial to have adverse effects to animals in the environment.
Crazy, right?
Yes.
Doesn't that, we don't think it's going to have an adverse effect. I mean, that's basically what they're saying. You can stop it.
Oh, I kind of wanted to keep listening to that. That sounded like something I might go to sleep to.
Oh, man. That is crazy. And okay, so I found the name of that ingredient in the cereal. It's trisodium phosphate. And it's most, that's the chemical that's in a lot of cleaning supplies.
Oh.
So yeah, why is it food? It's a preservative. And that's what the FDA came back and said, oh no, no. If it's like a, you know, small amount, it's okay. And then like all of the fact checking thing are like, you know, posting anybody that posts this ingredient and like the foods, it's always getting fact checked. It's like fact checked. FDA said it's okay. And again, it's like, well, yeah, it's okay. If you're eating like,
the problem is, why does anyone even trust the FDA?
That's the big question.
To begin with,
trust the science.
Any single person in the FDA could so easily be blackmailed or paid off.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's on all the wars as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's, man, this is why it's so, you know, this is why it's so hard to talk to people, you know, who aren't really fully aware of what's going on, because it's like, they want to trust the government. They want to trust the World Health Organization and now the World Economic Forum. Although I think the World Economic Forum is having some difficulty, because no matter what side you're on, the left or the right, people don't really, they're kind of seeing through what's happening with the World Economic Forum.
Well,
unless they're like 100% for Biden.
To some extent, but the danger with the WEF, again, comes in its large amounts of, they control basically the money in these corporations, and these corporations have all the money they need to run and work with any PR companies that they need. And so they are, if we're talking about the, like a large group of people that still listen to the mainstream media or are open to listening to the mainstream media, they will be affected by the positive reports on these elites and what they're doing in the World Economic Forum. So It is a problem, but you're right. Like, I think a lot of people are like, what is going on? You know, it's hard to control the information.
It is very hard to control the information. And you know, and as we said in the beginning of this, it is pretty interesting how the World Economic Forum's just like saying things pretty bluntly. Maybe it's just to see where people are, you know. It's like some people are just, oh yeah, okay, well, you know, it's like, oh, COVID is horrible, we need to wear masks. Oh, okay, they say we need to wear masks anymore. It's all right, you know. And then like, yeah, Biden now saying like the pandemic is over, and then Fauci's like, no, it's not over. And it's like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah.
It's so weird, you know? Everything is just, it's, man. Anyway. Okay, so this is kind of interesting with this climate grant rejected. If you want to kind of read into this a little bit, this is kind of fascinating. And then we'll go into these UN predictions.
Okay, yeah. So basically, the Climate Smart Grant was rejected. So White Oak Pastures and the Center for Agricultural Resilience applied for one of the new USDA partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities grants. We have been grazing our sheep underneath large utility-sized solar arrays for over 2 years. We see it as a win-win for farmers, energy companies, and the planet. We also see it as a way for underserved farmers to gain access to land without having to come up with a huge cash outlay. We wanted to expand this practice and then offer classes to others to teach them to do it. I thought that it would be considered to be a great project. The recipients were announced, and we were not one of them. I wouldn't have given it a second thought if other American farms had gotten the grant because they had higher scores. If they did, it would have been deserved, and I would have been happy for them. But the list of lead partners and major partners that were on the grant awards list pissed me off pretty bad, and here they are. Cargill, Google, Bayer, PepsiCo, Coca-Cola, John Deere, Microsoft, Walmart, Nestle, McDonald's, Campbell's, ButcherBox, Mars, Unilever, and Target.
Wow. And these are all companies that are, I mean, pretty much all of them
do not need the money at all.
Yeah, they're mostly at least billion-dollar companies, most of them. Probably all of them, actually.
Yeah, and it's like, again, this is another example of keeping all of that money in their little elite family.
Exactly. And what you just said, like, you know, buying things off, right? Well, also, like, I don't know, money laundering could be included. I mean, why would Google ever need a grant? I mean, that's like pouring water into the ocean to add more water. Yes. It's like, why?
Making billions.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
And Bayer. Oh, yeah, Bayer.
Yeah, Bayer. Oh, my God. Great company. Seriously. I mean, now that I think, didn't they buy Monsanto? I could be wrong about that.
They were a part of it.
Okay. So. Yeah, it's super weird. All of it's so weird. All right.
Like, and Nestle, too, also. Like, Walmart is on there. Microsoft is on there. Like, these are all the most retarded companies that would get that money. Like, it so does not make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense at all. And that would be something to look into. Like, you know, who's issuing the grants? Where does it come from? What government department is doing it? You know, how are these guys getting grants? What are they doing to get the grants? So, yeah, it's just...
Lindsay, can you look up for us who Cargill is? Is that even how you say it? Cargill or Cargill?
Cargill, I think. I'm not sure. I've never actually... Oh, no, wait. Aren't they... they're like a food or vitamin? I could be wrong.
Okay. Wait. Say that louder. She's going to pull up the website. It's like, okay, it has cool. Some interesting features to this company.
Nice.
Okay. Here it is. So... Featured content, but here, agricultural, animal nutrition, beauty and personal care, bioindustrial,
basically data another assets, billion-dollar
food
company.
And beverage, food service, meat and poultry, pharmaceutical, transportation. Like, there's just, wow. I mean,
to everything. They're actually in every industry. That's why I'm like, I've heard of them before.
Everything the bad guys like.
Cargill. Interesting. Super weird.
That is crazy. Okay, and then to end this post here, this guy named Will Harris who posted this, by the way, it says, it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. These were the applicants that had projects approved for funding under the USDA Climate Smart Commodity Grant.
Hello.
Who on earth would be better qualified to develop environmental solutions than the multinational companies who were complicit in effing our climate up?
That's
he understands this so well.
That's it. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're going to cover up the fact that we're the ones destroying the planet. So it's like, here, we're going to give you a grant to help rebuild what you destroyed. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. All right. We need to show another trailer. And then when we get back, we're going to talk about the UN predictions. Back way in, back from 1970s.
And now, what I want to say though about this trailer we're about to show is a huge part of everything that we're talking about with the like changes to our biology, our DNA, and all of that stuff is specifically to herald in transhumanism. And we did an entire series on that, and that this is what we're going to play right now. So check this out.
Part ape, part human hybrid, cyborgs and Terminator technology already existing, sentient robots becoming indistinguishable from people. No, it's not the plot of the newest Matrix movie. This is our reality, a transhumanist one. How does transcending humanism tie into eugenics, Darwinism, and even cloning? Is there any part of our world that transhumanism hasn't touched? Is resistance futile? How can we rage against the machine?
A vast secret history. A lost ancient civilization. An empire they tried to erase. Tartaria's hidden past is just as fictional as Atlantis. Or is it? Humanoid giants. Magical creatures that shouldn't exist. Dogmen. Centaurs. Magicians. And evil spirits. Why did the Soviet communists remove all traces of Tartaria from their books? Why was it so important to wipe Tartaria off the face of the earth? Take a glimpse into the truth of the past. You were never supposed to know.
So, did Genghis Khan's ancestors and the Tartarians really discover America? Was Tartaria a global civilization?
Forgotten maps. The journals of Marco Polo. Ancient structures. Evidence of advanced technology. Edge of Wonder brings you Tartaria.
Well, you guys, you can find all of that content on Rise TV. We have our whole series of Tartaria. We do have the first episode of these published on Rumble, but to watch the full series, you can go over to Rise TV and watch them. So same thing with the transhumanism. And it was, and actually we were on Steve Bannon from doing the transhumanism after we did the transhumanism series. So
that's true. Yeah, he had us on.
Yep. All right. Now that we're back, let's do what the scientists from NASA, from the UN, from like the top scientists of the world predicted since way back in the 70s going forward. Because I was looking into this, you know, because the climate change has a lot to do with what's going on with the food agenda and how they were talking about things and how they're talking about things now are very, very different. In fact, they had to change the meaning behind even what the word climate change is. I mean, if you remember, they first were calling it global warming. Then they changed it to climate change because they first was saying the earth was cooling. Now they're saying the earth is heating up. But anyway, we'll start off 1971. Washington Post has an article, U.S. scientist sees new ice age coming. So this starts out the world. And some of these are only in a print format, since these are in the 70s. Like, there's not anything online. So I found these in print. Unfortunately, this is like, I couldn't really see it. But what this says is the world could be as little as 50 or 60 years away from a disastrous new ice age. This would put it roughly between 2020 and 2030. So there you go. A leading scientist predicts this guy named Dr. Rasul. It's a national aeronautics NASA, basically. And he's just saying that, yeah. Anyway, he's saying that this is the world is going to be coming into an ice age. And it's just super weird that, you know, now, of course, they're not saying that. And instead, they're saying that the world is heating up. And all the ice is melting. So, and then in 1974, there was an article talking about how space satellites from NASA show that an ice age is coming on very fast. And they get into this guy, the scientist, talking about all this. So why don't you take the next one, the Genesis Strategy. And this was published in New York Times in 1976. And you can read this, Rob.
Yeah, so this is the Genesis Strategy from the New York Times. So the relationship of global diet to food supplies is a case in point.
You know what? That's supposed to be climate.
It must be.
Sorry, it was...
The D looks like a CL, so it just translated.
Yeah,
I get it.
And so, yeah, I think that's why.
Okay, so the relationship of global climate to food supplies is a case in point. Climate researchers are becoming alarmed that in the next 10 to 100 years, humanity will be unable to feed itself, not through technological insufficiency or political mischief, but because of climate changes that it can barely understand or control. Can you believe that they put that in there?
So this is from 1976, and they're saying the next 10
not through technological insufficiency or political mischief. Like, that's a weird thing to add in there. Okay, so the quote is, quote, there is little food stored to cushion the shock of the kinds of weather problems that so suddenly and unexpectedly damage crops in 1972, 1974, and 1975. And there's growing evidence that such damage weather may occur more frequently in the next decade than in the last one. The most imminent and far-reaching danger is the possibility of a food climate crisis that would burden the well-to-do countries with unprecedented hikes in food prices, but could mean famine and political instability for many parts of the non-industrialized world. This is Stephen Schneider, a young climatologist who's now probably an old climatologist.
He's old. Oh, man. It's just so funny how weird these are. So here's another one coming into 1978. International team of specialists find no end in sight to 30-year cooling trend in the Northern Hemisphere. So basically, these guys came to the conclusion that the world is going to cool down of the last 30 years in the Northern, in the last 30 years of the Northern Hemisphere. So it's like, basically they're saying 30 years from now, the world is going to be cooling. And that's just super weird. So they said the findings indicate that from 1950 to 1975, the cooling per decade of most climate indexes in the Northern Hemisphere was from 0.1 to 0.2 degrees Celsius. So it's saying that in the next few years, it's going to do the same thing. But it's weird because now they're saying the exact opposite. That's what's so crazy about this. So like, oh, the world is heating up and because of all this stuff. And it's like, well, wait a minute, make up your mind. You know, I mean, we had, what was that movie that Al Gore put out?
An inconvenient truth.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was like, I mean, it's like opposite now of everything that they're saying. And yeah, now, like, nothing in that movie actually came to pass. So, okay, why don't you do the next one here, Rob?
1989, Maldive Islands will be underwater by 2018. Okay, so a gradual rise in average sea level is threatening to completely cover this Indian Ocean nation of 1196 small islands within the next 30 years, according to authorities. The Environmental Affairs Director, Mr. Hussein Shahab, is that Barack Obama with a pseudonym? said an estimated rise of 20 to 30 centimeters in the next 20 to 40 years could be catastrophic for most of the islands, which were no more than a meter above sea level. The United Nations Environment Project was planning a study of the problem, but the end of the Maldives and its 200,000 people could come sooner if drinking water supplies dry up by 1992, as predicted.
Yeah, nothing's happened to the island. It's just chilling there.
Yeah, at all.
And honestly, when we dived into the climate change agenda in one of our episodes a while ago, you know, one thing that we found in Australia, there was a whole study done that it's just, this is normal that certain times of the year you will find that the water, I mean, you have the high tide as well, but they found that in like Australia, certain times of the year or like within like a 10-year period, the water will rise. Like, it's true, it'll go up like maybe, I think they said like a half an inch or something, but then it goes back down. And it's like if you had a glass of water and then you have it full of ice cubes, when it melts, it's going to be the same level as when you had the ice cubes in it. You know, it's not like the only way that you're going to have ice is if it's like overflowing from the top of it, right? Then it's like, well, okay, but when it melts, it could kind of spill over a little bit. But it's like, in reality, it's not going to change a whole lot. And the only way that it would change was like if all the ice melt, which isn't really happening. And then there's just a lot of confusion on what is going to happen. And then they interviewed this. So in like the 80s, this guy named Jim Hansen, not Jim Henson, but Jim Hansen, he was interviewed
for the clarification, because, you know, one is a climate guy and the other is a Muppet guy. Yeah,
that is absolutely right. And he was interviewed a lot. And basically everything that he said, he was like a really well-known scientist for NASA. Most of the things that he predicted didn't come true. And he was kind of saying the same thing about, like, you know, like, oh yeah, this is like, you know, the earth is going to freeze and all this stuff. And now it's like, you know, the opposite. And then we have the big one of 2004. Why don't you get into this one, Rob?
Yeah. So now the Pentagon tells Bush climate change will destroy us. So climate change over the next 20 years could result in a global catastrophe costing millions of lives in wars and natural disasters. A secret report warns that major European cities will be sunk beneath rising seas as Britain is plunged into a Siberian climate by 2020. Nuclear conflict, mega droughts, famine, and widespread rioting will erupt across the world. Disruption and conflict will be endemic features of life, concludes the Pentagon analysis. Once again, warfare would define human life. Oh, that's not fear-mongering at all.
No, definitely not. And this was just in 2004, so they were predicting this by 2020, you know, which, kind of getting back into what's happening with the pandemic, the World Economic Forum, it's like everything that they've ever predicted hasn't come to pass. And it's almost like, you know, no, and as much as they talk about climate change, and again, there's definitely pollution going on, there's definitely factors that play into this. However, no one's bringing up chemtrails. Like, what the heck, what is it really doing? Why do we even need it? How is that, is like, what is it really doing to the environment? And then it's like cow farts is another thing. And it's like, come on, give me a break. Like,
yeah,
seriously,
they're literally spewing chemtrails into the air, and then they're reporting on cow farts. Wow. And you know, yeah. I think it's really important that we, like, you know, as all of us are looking at this stuff, we really understand how to view this. And I think that the key is that why climate change? Why did all of these globalist outfits piggyback on climate change? Why are they utilizing climate change? It's because if they don't have something, if they don't utilize scientists to basically like create something for them, they have nothing to create the change that they need for world control, to control whatever mm-hmm. it is, right? They needed mm-hmm. something in order to create the machine that would change things the way that they want it to. And so they latched on to something that they could get behind that would inspire change enough in the world to be able to control everything. That's
exactly it. Yep. So Rob, why don't you do this 2009 one about Prince Charles, and then I'll do one last one. And yeah.
Okay, so this was in 2009. So the now King Charles, then Prince Charles, just 96 months to save the world. That's what this is called. Now, what a dork. All right. Capitalism and consumerism have brought the world to the brink of economic environmental collapse, the Prince of Wales has warned in a grandstand speech, which set out his concerns for the future of the planet. Their heir to the throne told an audience of industrialists and environmentalists that St. James Palace last night, that he had calculated that we have just 96 months left to save the world. That's extreme. Like, if you were at that and you were like trusting of your officials, your elected or non-elected officials, that would probably drive people pretty crazy, especially at that time, you know?
Can you imagine that? Yeah. I mean, and he did. It's even been fact checked by Snopes. He did talk about how the world is overpopulated and they need to do something about it. So that's an honest to God fact. He did say that.
Because he's been at too many WEF meetings hanging out with Billy Gates.
I think so. And the big thing that I came across, so I don't know if you guys remember, but in the 80s and the 90s, everyone was talking about the hole in the ozone over Antarctica. It was like the biggest thing that everyone talked about. And it was like, oh my God, this is like disastrous. You know, it's going to melt. It's going to melt all the ice. Everything's going to flood. And this is why everyone was freaking out really in the 90s. You don't hear anybody talking about the ozone anymore, the hole in the ozone. You know, it's like, what is going on? Well, believe it or not, it's actually mostly closed up. It's like
why aren't they talking about it anymore?
Yes.
That's why.
And they're not talking about it because it's like, oh, wait a minute. If you show that, click on that link, the grunge.com link, Lindsay. I pushed that's the right link, but I thought it had the photo in there. But anyway, there is a photo that NASA has of like before in the 80s, and it was a massive hole over like a red area over Antarctica. Now that hole is like, the red area is really small. And to me, it shows like the Earth can actually heal itself. It has ability to do this. Now, science are claiming that it's because, oh, we're not using all of the, the CFCs or whatever, the aerosol cans. And it's like, we're not. And it's like, come on, you're telling me that, there you go. You're telling me that aerosol cans was the only contributor to this? Like, no. You know, and I think it's because it doesn't fit their agenda anymore. It's like, wait a minute, you know, this hole all of a sudden kind of got healed. And it's mm-hmm. like, we don't want to talk about it because it doesn't fit the narrative. And why over Antarctica is the big question, right? It's like there's nothing going on in Antarctica. Why did a whole form over Antarctica? It's been a very big mystery that scientists cannot answer. So it does.
I think, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no. What were you going to say? You think
I was just going to say, I think Prince Charles thought he was somewhat of a psychic there with his 96 months until doom. But I predicted back in 2005 that when he became king, he would have sausage fingers, and I was right. So
oh, there you go, man. There you go. No, I seriously think that with what's going on with ozone layer, I just think that there's a very divine influence watching over things. Absolutely. You know? And I think that's why science can't explain certain things, because they don't even acknowledge that. They can't acknowledge anything about God or anything that's intangible to them. So of course they're never going to understand it. But I think that, you know, this shows that a lot can be done behind the scenes and ways that we don't understand. So all right, you guys, we still have so much more to go over, but we are a little bit over on Rumble and we're gonna have to end it here.
Ben, what are we gonna talk about over on Rise?
Well, the big thing, we actually have some great funny old ads that we found from 30s, 40s, 50s, all talking about how great and wonderful sugar is for you and your children, and that you should give it to them because it's wonderful. So we are going to show some of these funny ads. And then the big thing is that John Coleman, who wrote the book, The Story of the Committee of the 300, there's some very interesting things that I found in his book that talk exactly about what is happening in the world today. And this book was written in the 80s, and it's like literally, I almost feel like reading it, I'm like, holy cow, all this is playing out right now. You know, I think it really started with the pandemic, and then how the World Economic Forum is really trying to take over everything and form the one world government. So we're going to get into all of that and what that means and read parts of that. And we have more things related to, why are the food prices high, and what Canada, of course, things related to Canada and the food prices there and the inflation rate and how that's all like part of a big agenda.
All right. Well, you guys, please support our work over on rise.tv. It's only $9.99 a month, and we give you so much back in return. So, a lot to look forward to. Thanks, Ben. And mm-hmm. So do you have anything else while we're still on Rumble?
No, just please subscribe to Rise TV. Support us, everything that we do and our work. And you will also get to see our premiere of the Food Agenda episode.
Tonight, watch party, 9 p.m.
9 p.m.
All right. Roll it, Lindsay.
John, Nostradamus, Confucius, the Mayans, Aztec, and Hopi. What's something that the divine, enlightened, and ancient all have in common? What did they see and predict during their time here on Earth when they saw visions of the end of days? Were the pictures they were given simply glimpses of the future or warnings of impending doom? Well, since history does repeat itself, let's take a look today and let's find out what predictions, dreams, and visions have come true, especially ones made eons ago. And in these days, do we see moral lessons we all need to pay a little more attention to? Or will we just hastily shrug them off as a few more amazing coincidences? Don't miss this exhilarating three-part series on Edge of Wonder, Prophecies and the End Times.
I will say,